Welcome to the Zillionaire Superstars podcast show with Angie Z. I'm a mindset coach, host of Zillionaire Superstars podcast show, and designer of Zillionaire Creations, entrepreneurial clothing line. I know the road to evolution starts with understanding the power of your mind. The problem isn't with what you're doing, it is how you're thinking. The Zillionaire Superstar podcast show shares with you the mindset tools and techniques used by successful entrepreneurs and business owners that created their level of success today, and shares how you can also do the same. Welcome to Zillionaire Superstars with Angie Z. I'm super excited to have an amazing guest for you today, Nate Bailey. Nate is a leadership trainer, executive coach, and podcast host of Championship Leadership Podcast. Nate's mission in life is to impact men and women who are ready to truly have the life they have always desired. Nate is a best-selling author of 3 books and has built successful businesses in insurance and real estate. So I have to say, if there's anyone that knows anything about mindset, it's definitely Nate. He's also been in Ironman Championships and was a lieutenant serving in the U.S. Army. A massive welcome to you, Nate.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the invite and happy to be here.
Fantastic. So let's dive straight into a couple of questions to help everyone know all about you. So firstly, what do you do?
Yeah, well, I'm a speaker, a coach, a podcast host, and really, I mean, everything that I do is really wrapped around the same mission of just impacting men and women across the world, entrepreneurs and business owners primarily, to help them really, like you said in the intro, just to help them live the life that they've always wanted to live.
Beautiful. And where do you live?
I live in Minnesota. The state of Minnesota in the United States.
Beautiful. You always live there?
No, not always. I grew up in Wisconsin, so not too far from Minnesota.
Yeah.
I was out in Nebraska for a year in college, and I've been in the Army, of course, so I've been around the world a little bit too. So.
Yep. Awesome. What's your favorite book or podcast?
My favorite book or podcast? Well, I would say my favorite podcast has been for a while is Joe Rogan's podcast, which is kind of, in a way, was a big inspiration for me to start my own podcast.
Awesome. How long have you been podcasting now?
Well, this podcast has been 2 years now. It'll be 2 years.
2 years. Awesome.
In a few weeks. Yeah.
Fantastic. What's your favorite charity?
My favorite charity, I would say probably like Wounded Warriors, which is a charity for veterans that have been wounded in war or in combat.
Oh, fantastic. What a great charity. That's excellent. Are they just based in the U.S. or?
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
They're based in the U.S., yeah.
Okay, yep. Sweet. What's your daily success ritual look like?
I like to get up usually around 5:30, and I will head straight to the gym. I have some kids at home, and so try not to wake everyone up and head out the door and get a workout in first thing in the morning, usually some strength training to start off my day, and usually I'm listening to something, usually a book or a podcast. Sometimes I'll just listen to music, but a lot of times I like to use that time to learn something in the morning. And then I always usually send a message to a few people that are on my mind to kind of invest in some of the relationships that I have and in my life. And then head home probably around 6:30 to 7. And as the house is starting to wake up and help the family get out the door and cook breakfast and then take a little bit of time once they're out the door to just take a look at my day and just get intentional and set my priorities and what I need to get done for that day so that I have a clear plan of what's ahead of me. And then I head to the office and typically because I I do participate in kind of extreme endurance or ultra distance running. There's some workouts that need to be done. So typically middle of the day is when I'll kind of log in some longer mileage in between work, and then finish the day around 5 or so, usually with some meditation in there in between, and then back home for dinner and just family time and being present. And that's kind of what my average day looks like when I'm not on the road.
Beautiful. Sounds jam-packed. I love it, with all the good things.
Yeah.
awesome. And I love that you said, you know, you aim to learn something new in the morning or listen to something. I think that's really important as well. I love starting the day like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've been doing that for a long time.
Yeah. Awesome. So tell us a little bit about your journey. I mean, like I said, you've done a lot of amazing things, but how did you actually get into building successful businesses in insurance and real estate?
Well, I mean, it was kind of just a lot of trying to figure out my path early on, and then that really kind of led me to the insurance world. And you learn a lot about building a business. You learn a lot about how to connect and communicate with people, and to sales skills, and building a successful book of business. And you fail a lot along the way. So I started that journey in like 2004 is when I kind of got into the insurance business, and was deployed for about 15 months in between there. So it was outside of that deployment since 2004 to 2018. I was in the insurance world, built up a good business that I was able to sell to do what I do full time today. But back in 2010 is when I got into the real estate world, and I'm still currently involved in investment properties and building a portfolio across the country with that I love to do, and still do, and probably see myself doing that for as long as I live. I enjoyed that and the benefits that come with investment properties and building, you know, kind of a portfolio and a retirement for myself. So
nice.
But yeah, that's been a little bit of the journey. The insurance thing was never something that I was excited about. But it was just something that I happened to have some skill at. And it gave me a lot of great experiences to do what I do today as a coach. Right? As I coach other entrepreneurs and business owners, I have that experience. I've been through a lot of the things that they are experiencing currently today that allows me to be able to help them out.
Fantastic. Because how long were you in insurance all up?
Yeah, it was about, 2004, 2018, about 14 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so a long time. You would have learned a lot, mm-hmm. That's for sure. So in terms of your real estate, is it just residential primarily, or do you look at commercial properties as well?
Primarily residential. I mean, yeah, almost all residential. I say, you know, we have a few larger unit properties, which sometimes could be considered some commercial, but it is still like residential.
Primarily, yeah.
Housing. So, yeah.
Sweet.
Eventually I think I could probably see myself getting into some commercial, but I do kind of like to stick to what I know as well. So.
Yeah. No, that's cool. So residential and, you know, property in general actually is a huge topic around the world. A lot of investors, obviously. What have you learnt from diving into this space and building up a portfolio? What are the biggest takeaways for you that can help others?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I learned a lot in the beginning. I got in at the right time. You know, in the U.S. 2008 when we went through kind of the big crash and a ton of foreclosures, and was able to take advantage of that market and pick up some properties really at the right place, which has allowed me to kind of continue to grow and capitalize on some of that equity that I built up.
Yeah, but smart time to buy.
You learn a ton about like just being an investor, finding the right deals that make sense. You find out a lot about, you know, how the right tenant can make the world a difference on your experience in the investment property world.
Yeah.
Managing properties and then it's a bit, you know, depending, because there's so many different ways and strategies, right? I tend to be kind of more on the invest for the long term and hold, and And although I have sold some properties here and there, but typically to roll that into a bigger property in the future. So it's having the patience when you do have a property that's working well. Sometimes you can get this, all right, what's next mentality, when really probably the thing that you already have is like the thing, right? Sometimes you just like, yay, you wanna get rid of that one to build something different, when the best play might be just to hang on to the thing that you got, because it's tough to beat what you have.
Correct. And that's,
so it's just really learning that piece of it too.
I think that's important.
You know, again, it definitely applies to your life too, right? Like,
yep,
many times we do get impatient when really we have everything that we've always wanted currently.
Yes. Yeah. And we forget that, definitely. I think you're right. It is often about timing and patience, and that sounds very similar to the stock market as well. Are you involved in the stock market in any way?
I'm not really, just a little bit, but really I've kind of stuck to the real estate investment. And I know a lot of people say that maybe you should be more diversified, but I kind of feel like it's just, I know it. I've had really good success with it. And
yeah.
And I feel like it's a pretty safe place to be. Like, people always will need a place to live and to stay, right?
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like you're very comfortable in that space, by the sounds of it. And because you've had success, that increases your confidence, right?
Yeah.
So have you ever had a property that you've had to actually sell or get rid of, or something that just didn't work out?
I've sold probably four or five different properties that I've had, but not because I had to, more so because it's, you know, maybe there wasn't a ton of extra upside in where it was.
So
it was either taking that to put into something else or to buy another property to do what we would call over here in the U.S. a 1031 exchange, where I can roll the capital gains without having to pay, you know, the gain tax upfront. So
yeah, that makes sense. So for you, what's imperative in choosing the right property? Like, is it all about number crunching? Is it researching? Is it knowing your area? Like, you know, all investors have different strategies around that. What's your key strategies?
I would say it's really a bit of all of the above, for sure. It's finding the right market. You know, there's different pockets in our country, depending on things that have happened in the area that have probably driven the prices down when normally they would be much higher, which just gives you a great opportunity for a potential and gain in a short period of time when things start to correct. So it's the market. It's definitely a bit of location, for sure. And of course, it's having the ability or the vision to, you know, some people might come through a place and all it needs is, let's say, like some paint, maybe a few patches here, maybe a few appliances, some carpet. All of those things are so cosmetic, but when someone comes in, they have a hard time seeing past that, and so they miss out on the opportunity because of that. And so I think it's the ability to come in and see a place for what it is and the upside to it.
Yeah.
And that comes through experience, and that also comes down to mindset a bit too, to be able to see those things and have the faith that, you know, because of experiences that you've had in the past, that past success will turn into future success for you as well. And, you know, putting the right people, knowing your strengths. When I first started, I was trying to do everything myself because I was, in a way, kind of being cheap, right? I didn't want to pay anyone else if I could do it well. There's a cost for your time.
Oh yes.
I would also try to fill the places myself. And the problem there is I have a huge heart, and I was running into people that couldn't get a place anywhere else because of their past choices or mistakes. And so I would give them a second chance, and it was starting to burn me a bit. It never completely burned me to the point where, like, I just lost everything. But it was close, and so I learned that, hey, I need to find somebody that does this for a living, that has standards, that's not going to listen to their sob story and is going to put people in there that are going to be good quality renters that will pay and that won't mess the property up.
Correct.
Yeah. Chase. And so it was realizing that early that, you know what your strengths and your weaknesses are, and especially in the investment property world, because renters are everything. Mm. If you get a bad one, it can completely ruin you. And so was the ability to be like, yeah, this, I'm going to have to pay someone else to do this, but there's a reason I'm paying them is because they have a skill set that I don't. And so it's definitely worth it in the long run.
Oh, I would agree. And I think just the legalities around it as well, but also you just don't want to be that person that's always called upon, like, oh, this is broken, this needs fixing. Like, some renters will just constantly, you know, send you a barrage of messages, whereas if it's going through an agency, it's much easier because that's their business. That's what they do every day. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's a different relationship.
I was taking all those calls forever, and it's just like, man, this is not the life I want. So, eventually giving up that and not have to deal with that. But, yeah, you got to compensate them for it, but it's so worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. So, tell us, what led you to becoming a coach, Nate?
Yeah, it really came down to, you know, it started with me and just not living the life that I wanted to live, right? And being like, man, is this it? Is this really as good as it gets? And years of trying to kind of figure it out on my own and finally come to a point like, this isn't what I want. I clearly don't know how to fix it myself. And I know there's got to be a better way. And then, you know, just going and finding that person, that coach that's living that life that I want to help me to get there quicker, right? So it really started with me investing in myself and doing the work on myself and in my life and in my business. And then realizing, like, wow, this is like, I didn't realize that there was even that world out there, right?
Yes.
And so this is about 5 years ago. And I was like, oh, man, this is what I want to do. I don't love insurance. I love the flexibility it gave me and the lifestyle that it created for me. But when I was, my eyes were opened that, like, oh, there's this thing called coaching. I can go and help others and just enjoy the heck out of it and make a big, significant impact and have purpose and be fulfilled in my life.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I got to where I am today.
Live the life that you wanted.
Rather
than just day to day. So was there a pivotal moment, or was there a challenging aspect where you just were like, you know, hit rock bottom, or like were in a really challenging position at the time?
It was more of it was probably a combination of things. It was like I was definitely kind of on the doorsteps of divorce and not showing up for my children, you know, not being the father that they deserved, and it became kind of complacent in my fitness and health, and was overweight and just disconnected and just like, oh, but not knowing what to do, right? And
yes,
the more effort I would put into my business, the less everything else would thrive. And just not knowing how to really kind of lift all areas up at once. And so it wasn't really necessarily one moment, but it was just a combination of, you know, just a less than average life and not being okay, not wanting to throw in the towel either. That really just one day it kind of was finally like, all right. I was scrolling social media, actually, and the message came to me. Like, I came across this ad, and in 2015, ads were still kind of not every other post was an ad like it is today.
Yes.
And a message, the right message at the right time from the right person came when I wasn't, what I didn't really consciously know I was looking for, it probably subconsciously was, and sucked me in. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. This is what I need.
That's fantastic. That is incredible. It sounds like a big leap, and like you did all the hard work and invested in yourself, like you said, and that's often what people try to avoid, is all that internal work on themselves and improving their life, because it's not an easy journey, is it?
No, it's not an easy journey. Yeah. It wasn't cheap either. Like, it was a significant investment, which was extremely scary, especially at that time in my life when I hadn't invested heavily in my life and didn't realize the benefits in doing that. And then just knowing that, hey, it is still up to me to go do the work and to implement that into my life to make the changes.
Well, yeah, well, I think that's another good difference that you bring up as well, is that there was a lot of fight in you to change for the better.
Yeah.
So that's that you're halfway there, right? Once you've got that under your belt. So is that what led to a lot of your fitness journey and participating in Ironman and things like that?
Yeah, it is. Ultimately, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of getting my life back together, feeling alive again, wanting to compete, knowing the importance of taking care of my body and how if I take care of my body, my fitness, my health, like that really drives everything else. It gives me the energy to be present with my family and to really be focused inside of my business to continue to fulfill and create a lifestyle that I want. And longevity wise, just knowing that, like, if I don't take care of this body that I have, this only one that I have, like, I know that will also catch up with me at some point in life. And so, yeah, I was, it was, you know, picking big events like an Ironman or like a 100-mile run or like the Seal Fit Kokoro event that I went through that was 52 hours long and pushing myself, but not just pushing myself, but also when you have something like that in front of you, there's preparation that's required.
Yes.
And so it's, all right, how am I going to prepare for this and do the work that's required? While at the same time not sacrificing my family, not sacrificing my business, and finding a way to be dedicated, disciplined, and committed to get it all done. And that's really when my journey in my life took off, is when I really got that connected in my life.
I love that, looking at all areas and all aspects of your life, not allowing one to falter. So, like, the importance of family relationships, the importance of work and thriving at work, the importance of looking after your body and being able to give back to everyone. They're huge lessons, right?
Yeah, huge.
So it sounds like you went through a bit of a mindset transformation along the way. What would you recommend for those out there, you know, either, you know, whether they're starting their own business or they're in the midst of it? What would you recommend in terms of mindset? What have been techniques that have worked for you?
Well, I mean, first and foremost is surround yourself with others that are wanting or on a similar path to you. I think that's an important part of investing in a coaching program, is there's other people that have that are on a similar path, right? So now you have other people in your life that are talking a similar language and are in a similar place, looking for the same things. So that's huge, like association, right?
And yes. Then
a big piece of it is, like, this is my belief, the key to mindset is, you got to put yourself in uncomfortable situations, and I believe that one of the greatest ways to do that is through, like, endurance events or through physical competitions, right? At some point in life, we quit competing. You know, when we're young, we love to compete. We love to be active. We love to be playing games, and it's not about winning a race. It's about competing with yourself and just being around other people that are – the juices start to flow. Like I said, there's work that's required, so that causes you to have to prepare and take care of your body. When you're feeling good in your body, like, that absolutely lifts up everything. When you walk into the room and you're feeling good about yourself, you're taking care of yourself, you're looking good, you know, you can tell that others are paying attention, and
definitely
certainty and confidence levels that go up. And so I'm a firm believer that if you have something to train for and to go and compete, like, you just feel alive when you finish. You love to share that story, and other people are like, they give you feedback, and it's just like, it just gets so many different things flowing and moving through yourself and through your life through that. That's absolutely, like, I believe in that. Everybody should have something that they are preparing for, that they can compete and feel alive again in their life with.
I love that.
It doesn't
have
to be 100 miles. It could be a 5K. It could be,
yay,
you know, it's a fun competition.
That's a really good point. A really good point. And I think you're right. As children, we're all for it, right? Gung ho, you know, loads of energy.
Absolutely.
Don't stop. You're, like, continually competing with others and with ourselves as well, like, wanting to do better for ourselves. But, as adults, we do sometimes lose that. So, that's gold, absolute gold, Nate. So what would you say, who's inspired you along your journey? Who's been your biggest source of inspiration?
Yeah, I guess I could, you know, Dave, I don't know if you've ever heard of David Goggins. He's in the States.
Yes, I have.
He's definitely someone that's very present mind. When I went through that event that I mentioned called Seal Fit Kokoro, was an event led by Navy SEALs.
Yes.
That gives you a taste of what it would be like to go through Hell Week, but it's only 2 days and not 6 days. In my preparation for that, I read this book by Jesse Isler called Living with a SEAL. And in the book, they just talk about the SEAL. You don't know that it's David Goggins. And so shortly after that, I figured out that it was Goggins. So I really started tuning into him and what he was about before he really became mainstream and wrote his book. And now almost everyone's heard of him, right?
Yeah, totally.
He's on the extreme for sure. He's. I'm not saying you should be David Goggins, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, but he's definitely inspiring. His mentality, the mindset we talked about, how do you get that? How does he get that? He gets it the same way. He constantly is pushing himself every single day. He's constantly competing, testing himself to see where he's at and what he's made of and how he can continue to become better.
Yep.
And he does it through endurance events. He does it through physicality because there's almost no other way that can match putting yourself through those environments and circumstances to help build that mindset quicker is through the physical aspect. And so he's definitely a big inspiration for me.
That's huge. I thank you so much for your time today, Nate. Just before we wrap up, how can people best find you? What's the best way to connect with you?
Yes, you bet. So my website's probably the best way. Right now it's NateBaileySpeaks.com. So probably within a few days it'll be NateBailey.org. Social media, Instagram is a good place to follow me, at Coach Nate Bailey. Same on LinkedIn, at Coach Nate Bailey. Facebook would be NateBailey84.
Sweet. Love your work, Nate. You have an amazing rest of the day.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you for listening to the Zillionaire Superstars podcast show. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We'd love to hear your comments and reviews, so please leave a review on iTunes. For further information, visit angelinazimmerman.com, and I can't wait to catch up with you next time.